and welcome back to Know Your Nonsense Podcast. I'm Riley Judd.
And I'm Timothy Holloway.
I know about games, programming, and design.
Yes, and I know about history, folklore, and food.
And neither of us, sadly, know anything about paintbrushes.
You really think we would?
Especially me. As an artist, I am ashamed of myself.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? Come on.
I'm a digital artist. Can I play that card?
Okay, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes!
Actual paintbrushes are expensive. That's, like, the only thing I know about them.
I know about that. A little too well.
Yeah. But this episode is not about paintbrushes.
No, it is not. Actually, it is about... Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! Metroid!
Yes, I guessed very wrong.
Yes. So, to explain the hint. So, the hint, you know... when traveling through space, it is best to leave luck to the heavens. Well, Metroid is Nintendo's resident space game. And leave luck to the heavens is actually what the word Nintendo means.
Yeah, I'm going to have to file that one away because that's a really cool fact.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about Metroid, the game series where you follow Samus Aran. But Timothy will tell you all about that.
Yes, I will. Yes. Okay, so Metroid. The game is, as Riley said, it follows Samus Aran. That is the character that you yourself play as. You are a bounty hunter who wears a really freaking cool suit. Like, you have a laser cannon arm, and you can roll up into a tiny ball. It's one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Carried over mechanics of all the games. It's really cool.
Iconic,
yeah, that's a good word for it. And you're helping out the Galactic Federation by fighting space pirates who are trying...
Does it get any cooler?
I know, really, though. Like, this sounds like a cool game, and I, you know, Riley, I mentioned this to you before. I feel like before each of these video game episodes, I should play the game, because I've never played this game either, any of them. And I feel like I'm a poser for talking about it.
I mean, in all fairness, I have only played Metroid Dread, which came out this year when I was the biggest GameCube child you've ever met, so...
Yeah, no, that's entirely fair. But yeah, that's the game. You're trying to fight space pirates who are trying to harness the power of the parasitic Metroid species. That's where the name comes from. But where did this game start? Well, it was originally created in 1986, back in the 80s, by... Primarily, what was it, these two guys. I have a bunch of names here, but what I found was these two men were primarily in charge, Satoru Okada and Yoshio Sakamoto. Okada, he directed the series and did a lot of work with the story, whereas Sakamoto did a lot of character design for the first game and then headed up a lot of the other games that followed in the series.
I will go ahead and throw in one more name for that, which is Gunpei Yokoi.
He was the one I was just about to mention.
There you go.
He did a lot of, what was it, research and development for the game, right?
Yes, and he was kind of the one who spurred the team into action because of his, you know, basically his rivalry with Shigeru Miyamoto, who is known for Super Mario Bros.
Right, right. But yeah, these guys kind of headed up the project, and then the three of them, each of them all had different projects later on that really made them well-known. I believe one of them, I think it was Okada, was in charge of a bunch of the handheld Nintendo stuff that we know and love today and have heard about, like Game & Watch, if you're familiar with that. I've always wanted to play that. I never actually have, but it looks like a blast, okay? It looks amazing. But continuing on. This was a very just overall impactful game, or series of games, I should say, franchise. There are 14 total, with a 15th coming out, hopefully, in the near future. But we will get more towards that later. But it all started with the original Metroid in 1986. So Metroid, as you may have heard us mention in a previous episode, is part of the... reason we have the classification of games called a Metroidvania.
Yes, indeed.
Coming from the titles Metroid and Castlevania, it is a 2D platform explorer where it's kind of like... Now, of course, Riley, you will correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope you will. It's kind of like the more you seek, the more you can find. It's open world before there was open world, almost, if that makes sense.
Honestly, like, the more you seek, the more you can find is an excellent way of putting it.
Woo, okay.
The idea is that, you know, by looking around and exploring your environment, you are going to naturally find things that will let you get into new areas to explore.
Right, right. Like, different abilities that allow you to reach the other areas. What we mentioned this before was in conjunction with the game Hollow Knight during our episode where we came back after our long hiatus, the game episode.
Yes.
But continuing on, Metroid and Castlevania were the two earliest games to do this, right? And
I think so.
Yeah. We're going to go with it. Full send.
Full send.
But it worked out so well for them that the whole style of that game was actually named after them. During my research, I found out that Metroid was kind of supposed to be taking the popular aspects of Mario, some of the storytelling aspects of that, and the side-scroller game, and some of the more adventure-based aspects of some of the earliest Legend of Zelda games, mashing those together and then making it darker. So, like, darker subject matter, darker music even was something I actually read a lot about. A lot of people really like the music. I'm going to have to look that soundtrack up.
Yeah, the music, especially for the game Super Metroid, is very critically acclaimed.
Yeah, but that was definitely something that Metroid was very, I guess, open about, very proud about, how dark they were able to make this video game and still make it good for everybody to play. Now, this was also one of the first real video games of its kind to have this kind of overarching story. So throughout the 14 games that are released, most of them go in an almost linear fashion. So you have Metroid and then Metroid 2, Return of Samus. What made these games stand out from these other franchises was that as soon as the story in Metroid was over, you beat the final boss and you win, whatever, Metroid 2 picks up right at the end of that and continues the story you were on. So it's not just everything's wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow. It's like when you're watching a movie and you come to a cliffhanger and you gotta wait for the next movie in the series. Metroid was one of the first platform games to do that. And it would continue for a long time, occasionally having reboots and remakes. Metroid Zero Mission, to be specific, was a remake of the original Metroid in better graphics, as well as a few others that kind of harken back to their older games. And throughout all of these games, Metroid has kept up a quality that has allowed them to win numerous, numerous awards that I seem to have forgotten to write them down. But if you want to look them up, just look up what awards Metroid has won and you will find your list quite easily.
You'll find plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the other huge impacts that the Metroid franchise has had on the gaming community is their character choice in Samus. Now, on the covers of the games, you see this hulky, really buff, awesome, strong suit of armor. And it is piloted by one of the strongest and one of the first super strong female characters in games of this time. And honestly, it just really paved the way for a lot of other games.
Yeah. At the time, to have, like, you know, this is a sci-fi action shooter game, you know, to have the main character be a female lead, that was just not a thing. So it was actually a very, very important piece of representation that was only determined about halfway through the game's development.
Yeah, and you don't even find out in the original Metroid till the very end, I believe, that she is indeed a woman. It's just kind of a thing that they throw in there at the end of the... Once you beat the boss, it reveals that you have been piloting this character and she is a complete and total boss herself.
Yep.
In every sense of the word, she is this strong, silent, really just... what was the word I had written down here? She's like the strong, silent boss bounty hunter type. Kind of like a Boba Fett type of character. That makes sense?
Yeah.
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 And it is a really cool representation.
Yes. Which comes into play in some of the later games, which we will talk about.
Yes. In fact, I will go ahead and go into that a little bit. Of all the games, there actually was not much character development for this character until Metroid Other M, which that's getting into kind of the tea that goes along with the franchise, which I am ready to talk about if you are, Riley.
Yeah. If you feel like you're ready for, like,
Yeah,
man. Got anything else?
Might as well go into the tea. Why not?
All right.
So you go through all these different games that span just about 30 years? Is that what I'm seeing? Yeah. A little over 30 years. Because it started in 86, 2021 now. Yep. Yeah. And you don't have much character development of this character, but yet she still remains super popular. You get everything from Metroid, Metroid 2, Super Metroid, which Riley mentioned earlier. It's considered one of the best games ever, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then they even switched from their standard 2D platform game to the 3D version of the game, and then also switched it to a first-person shooter, and it still held strong.
Mm-hmm.
They did that with Metroid Prime in 2002. And then they had their Metroid Zero Mission in 2004, which was kind of a little mini reboot of the first game. And they even released a Metroid Prime pinball game. So if you're really into pinball and want to try Metroid, there you go. It's a
good start.
Yeah, that's a good start. And they are still releasing games. As Riley mentioned earlier, Metroid Dread came out this year, in fact, just a few weeks ago on October 8th. And there is Metroid Prime 4. Release date is to be determined at this point. And there's actually some fun stuff about that, because they had to restart the entire project about 2 years into development. Completely switched game developers, switched to Retro Media, which is who did a lot of the other games, and had to push back the release date a long time to do so. Now, we still don't know when it's coming out, despite being announced in 2017.
Correct.
But it has not all been completely fantastic or great. As we mentioned earlier, Metroid Other M happened, and they tried to give the character a lot more development, gave her a lot more voice lines, gave the story a lot more, and nobody liked it.
Nope.
To put it simply, just nobody liked it at all.
Well, okay, if you're being optimistic, it was mixed. Air quotes all around that. Mixed reception. But yeah, no, a lot of people hated how they characterized Samus in that game.
Yeah, no, not at all. And as far as I know, that hasn't been fixed, has it? Like, they haven't tried to characterize her further, at least.
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, there's more to that, which you continue, and I'll come back to that.
Okay. I will say one game that I want to shout out just because it sounded interesting, because it kind of moved away from Samus in the Metroid universe. Metroid Prime Federation Force. Also not received super well, but I thought it was interesting that they tried it. Instead of having you play as Samus, you played as what they called Federation Marines. Essentially doing the same job that Samus did, but without her. If that makes sense. And again, was not received the best, but not as bad as Other M, is what I read, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Metroid has not just stayed within its lane of just, you know, the Metroid games. It has also shown up in a bunch of other Nintendo properties. Samus is actually one of the original 12 fighters in the Super Smash Bros. Games, and she is always in the games. Another aspect of the franchise that they have touched on is there is actually a Metroid manga, however you pronounce that.
Manga,
okay. I've heard it both ways, so I didn't know what was right.
It's manga.
Manga, and I believe a dedicated magazine also, or it always has a prominent spot in a Nintendo magazine, is maybe what I was reading. But
that's quite possible.
Despite that, there has been a lot of stories in this manga that has told you a lot about Samus's background and the background of the world that they live in, which I thought was really cool. Really good use of the media for that.
Yes. Yes.
And then also, this one I'm really actually kind of bummed about. There were movie rights that were sold and bought, and they were never capitalized on.
Who bought them?
I don't remember who bought them. But
that's like the most important thing.
2003. It just said, my source just says, two producers optioned the rights to create a live-action film based on Metroid, but the rights expired.
Okay, so they don't own them anymore. So
no, not anymore. Matter. Not anymore.
Okay.
But that would have been really kind of cool, I think. Apparently Nintendo was very on the fence because of the fiasco of the 1993 Super Mario Bros. Film.
Yes.
And rightly so. I feel like they have every right to be nervous about that. But I don't know. Yeah, I feel like of all the game franchises, Metroid would be a good choice, if that makes sense.
As it is one of those that could be, but just honestly, video game movies just don't have a good track record. Won't get into it. Could be its own episode. But that's you fair. you could almost say that, and this is a bit of a stretch, but you know, do some yoga with me, okay? Is that if you did a Metroid movie, there's an excellent chance what you would be getting is Metroid Other M. So,
well, I'm not sure anybody really wants that.
Exactly. So, but that's interesting. I didn't hear about the movie, right? Oh, so that's interesting.
I found a few sources that talked about it, honestly.
Nice.
But yeah, no, part of me still wants it. Not going to lie. I think it could still be, if done right. Granted, those are the operative words there. If done right. Then it could be really cool. But if it's not, then that would be a flop of catastrophic proportions, probably.
Right.
But yeah, that is, in a very small nutshell, Metroid and its impacts in the gaming community.
All right. Well, pretty good job, honestly. Yeah, so you got the pretty good timeline, you know, Metroid, Metroid 2, Metroid 3. So just to give a little more detail on the jump from 2D Metroid to 3D Metroid.
Yes, please do.
Yes, it was not a smooth transition by any stretch of the imagination. Nintendo was looking to try to give it a 3D title for the GameCube, as the GameCube is getting ready to release, because Metroid just didn't sell very well in Japan in its 2D form. I just thought that was interesting. It, at least commercially, has done better in Western audiences than in Eastern audiences, and Nintendo was thinking that maybe the jump to 3D would be able to help it out, and so they make a contract with Retro Studios to make 5 games for them, exclusive games for them, one of those being Metroid Prime. And you know, that was a good development move for them. Like Retro Studios was a prime candidate for making this project, because Intelligent Systems, the ones who had been working on most of the Metroid games up to this point, were swamped in other handheld titles at the moment. But 2 of the games that Retro was making in contract with Nintendo got canceled, and then another one got canceled, and people were starting to get really worried about this Metroid game. You know, things were just not looking good for Retro Studios and their image. And then the GameCube was revealed, as well as its lineup, which was not doing them any favors, because the original games for the GameCube, while they, at least a good chunk of them, have become very beloved games in their respective franchises, caused some concern among the Nintendo audience base. Like, you had Mario Sunshine, where Mario has this weird water jetpack, and then you have, you know, Wind Waker, which is this cutesy, cel-shaded Legend of Zelda game, very different from what we had previously gotten. And so, at that time, it was revealed that Metroid Prime was going to be in first person. It was going to be a first-person shooter, and everybody lost it.
Yeah, not a lot of people liked that at all.
No. So people's expectations into that game were at an all-time low, but then it was shown at E3 in 2002, and everyone was blown away. And it and, was it Metroid Fusion, I think?
Yes, they
same debuted week. Was on it the same day? I don't think it was same day.
Same
Interesting.
Day.
Interesting. But they were both quite successful. But Prime was the winner of the two. It actually became the second highest selling GameCube title in the history of the GameCube, which that was what truly solidified Metroid as a successful Nintendo franchise. But that was really the only other thing I wanted to kind of cover. When it came to like Samus as a character and how like she didn't have much characterization, and when they tried to give her some, it just didn't work. Is the problem? The problem was she had characterization. The characterization was stoic and dutiful, and you know, not flinching in the face of danger, and you know, things like that. And so, okay, you know,
yeah,
to try to give her more quote unquote personality went against the personality that she was given by the games. She falls in the camp of silent protagonists who they sort of take on their own characteristics and personalities based on A, the characteristic that they are most often choosing not to speak, and B, they get characterization based on what you as a character, as a player, do with the character. So a great example of this for another silent protagonist who has, you know, their own personality is Shell from Portal. If you remember us talking about Shell in the Portal 2 episode.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
go check out so our Portal episode. So she
is choosing to be silent to not give GLaDOS, her captor, the satisfaction of hearing her talk. But despite her, you know, being this silent protagonist, she also has characterizations of incredibly intelligent, inquisitive, sassy, you know, things like this because of the nature of the game. The game is solving puzzles, and there's a lot of humor tied up in the actions that you do and that you take. So, like in Portal 2, when Wheatley is asking you questions and you get a little prompt, you know, press A to respond and you jump, you know, you are actively choosing not to answer this robot's question and jump instead. So that's why Metroid Other M just would not have ever worked. By choosing to give her more dialogue and, you know, deeper and more tragic backstory, it just, it goes against who she is.
Okay, yeah, I read into that completely the wrong direction.
I love silent protagonists. Silent protagonists are one of the most powerful like kind of formats for characters and games because they leave open to interpretation and open to projection of, you know, the player base. You know, you are much easier, you are much more easily able to put yourself in their shoes, get immersed in the experience, and it just, you know, it creates almost more powerful characterization because you just take all the little things and you form that character out of your game rather than by trying to write a compelling character, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. And the only other thing I want to say, Federation Force. So, it was
not great.
Very, very strong slap in the face to the Metroid fan base, which is why it was not received well. Because, you know, we had Other M in 2010, which was not very well received, meaning that the last good, like, standard Metroid game was Metroid Prime 3 in 2007. So fast forward to 2016, it's been 9 years, almost a decade, and there's a new Metroid game on the horizon, and it's a spin-off that has nothing to do with Samus.
Okay, yeah, I see why that wouldn't be received well.
Yes, it was a incredibly rude slap in the face to the Metroid fan base who had been waiting very patiently for a new game. And it was an especially big slap in the face to fans of the 2D series, because there, until Metroid Dread released this year, there had not been a new mainline 2D Metroid game since Fusion, which was 19 years ago now. So at the time was, you know, not so much, but like 14 years, if I'm doing my quick math right. You know, it was a long time.
Yeah, that's so, bottom line.
It's been a hot minute. So Federation Force was well, I can't speak for the game itself and its gameplay. It was a terrible choice.
Well, yep. Good to know.
But otherwise, excellent job. Excellent work.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And when we come back, we'll have some questions for each other, yeah?
Yep.
All right. Well, stick around.
Around the sticks. I stand by it.
We'll be right back.
See ya. And we are back.
Did you miss us?
Oh, because we missed you, our lovely listeners. Yes, we did.
So very much.
So very much. So, Timothy, Metroid Dread.
Well, not Metroid in general.
Metroid in general. Jeez. I'm doing dreadful right now. Aha ha.
Wow.
Aha.
Humor.
Prime humor. Aha. Aha.
Okay, that was actually... okay, that one actually got me a little bit.
Teehee. So, Metroid.
Yes.
What is something that surprised you?
Okay, I hadn't really thought about this because I'm used to more of the movies I mentioned, you know, coming into a movie with a cliffhanger in the previous movie and other games that have the story continuation. I did not realize Metroid was one of the first platform games to do that. That just kind of, that blew my mind a little bit.
Right.
Which I know that, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before, you know, not a lot of games actually do have continued stories like that, but there are those few, and I guess I really got in my head about that thought, oh yeah, no, this has been around for, you know, as long as video games have been around, sure, why not? No, it's not the case.
Right.
It starts with Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid is definitely one of the most aggressive continuations of a timeline of a story. Any Nintendo fan will tell you it has probably the cleanest and most organized timeline of any Nintendo franchise. RIP in peace, anybody trying to graph the Legend of Zelda timeline.
Oh my word.
It's a nightmare. But yeah, so a lot of games, story-driven games, will have continuations, but very few have the very direct continuations that Metroid does. Like, you know, the actions at the end of one Metroid usually directly results in what she will be doing in the next game.
Right, yeah. Because there was one where she, I mean, slight spoiler alert, she saves a thing, and that thing ends up being one of the main driving forces in the very next game. I think that was between two and the third one.
Yes, that sounds right.
The third one's name.
Super Metroid.
But yeah. Super Metroid, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. So between Metroid 2, Samus Returns, and Super Metroid. Or was it Return of Samus? It's Return of Samus. Yes.
Yeah, Samus Returns is the remake. Later remake, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, no, I just thought that was really fun how that's where that started, Metroid. They started the whole Metroidvania. They started story-driven platform franchise games.
Yeah.
What it are they going to start next?
It's interesting how, like, just revolutionary it was, but, you know, critically, you know, it took so long, and sales-wise, to, you know, become the prominent series that it is today.
Yeah.
Despite how much it has pushed games forward.
Yeah, no, for sure. So. What about you? What was something that surprised you / that you thought you knew?
So this is gonna get a little spicy. If we got any Metroid fans listening, I'm sorry. I'm gonna get a little spicy, a little unpopular opinion puffing over here.
Do it.
But I was surprised because this is Metroid. This is one of the games that pioneered the Metroidvania genre. And I'm going to admit, going namely into, not really the research for this episode, but the research for this episode, but earlier than that, when Metroid Dread was announced, and I was like, oh, I can actually play this game very feasibly, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be playing a Metroid game. Like, this is the series that invented it. Like, you know, one of my favorite games of all time is Hollow Knight, which is a Metroidvania, and without this series, that beautiful open world of Hollow Knight would just not exist, most likely. So I was a little starstruck here, and was a little shocked to learn that quite a few Metroid games follow a fairly linear story progression.
Seems counterintuitive.
I don't know what to do with this. I think it first started in, let me check my notes, Metroid 2? I think it was Metroid 2. They made the game more, it was Metroid 2. And it was more linear than the first game, where the progression was based almost completely on the Metroids you were tasked to kill. So, you know, you go, you find a Metroid, you kill it, you get the power up that will let you go to the next area to kill the next Metroid.
Makes sense.
And I was shocked by this, because it's known for being very open. And, you know, Super Metroid, which is considered to be one of the best, if not the best Metroid, went back to kind of the more open format, which they've just been bouncing back and forth. Because apparently, one of my sources, I believe, said that the more linear format leads to the game being more popular in Japan.
Really?
So, yeah. So commercially, it's a balancing act of which one do you choose? But I have played Metroid Dread. I have got it. I have beaten it. And I was shocked by it because it kind of follows the more linear format of the 2D Metroid games. You find a power up, and that power up will, like, the path to that power up will dump you very close to one area where you can use it, and that area, it takes you to the next area.
Can you bounce back and forth between the areas?
Yes. So there's only, I'm not going to say a number because I don't remember. There's a few areas in the game, like a few sections. So the way it works is you have maps, and these maps are connected via certain teleportation, you know, places, like game teleportation wise. Right. So, yeah. You know, it could be a shuttle, it could be an elevator, it could be an actual teleportation device, but somewhere where you are going to enter a loading screen while they load the next area. And you do bounce back and forth between them. However, there's no reason to really explore around these areas with your new power-ups. Now, there is, like, there are collectibles that you can find, but the game is really, in my opinion, aggressively pushing you to just find the next, you know, the next door that you are now able to open to get to the next objective.
Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't really slow down for you, which this in part is due. So the Metroid games are actually quite popular to speedrun. So those of you who are unfamiliar with what speedrunning is, it is when you do attempt to beat a game as fast as possible by exploiting skips and bugs and just, you know, taking advantage of the game as best you can to complete it as quickly as you can.
Right, yeah, you, like, have to run at directly this certain angle out of this certain building, and it takes you directly to the next place you want to go in some cases, stuff
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. And Metroid became a series that was popular for this because of its more open-ended nature. You were able to, by exploiting certain skips and bugs, skip almost entire areas that you just didn't have to go to them. So it felt like they wanted to keep that, but they wanted to keep the more linear progression. So the game feels like it's just pushing you as quickly as possible from one place to one place, not really giving you a lot of time to breathe. So
is it like an illusion of choice type thing, or
not really? It really is. It's just, you know, feel free to explore around to see if you can find, you know, one block that you can now blow up with your new bombs, or, you know, go to this very clearly marked door that you have not been to because you now have the bombs, and that'll lead you to a new area that you can air quotes, explore, but really it's just finding the door that leads to the next power up or boss. So I was a little shocked, a little, you know, just like big expectations were shattered.
Bummer.
So, not to say that Metroid Dread was not a good game. It was a very good game.
No, well, fair.
But I was a little shocked to hear that one of the series that a whole genre of game is based after doesn't necessarily follow that game format all the time.
Yeah, no, that seems... I mean, I said counterintuitive earlier. I don't think that's the right word. That just seems
backwards. It's just really odd. Yeah, just real backwards.
Yeah. Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because, you know, sometimes they gotta switch it up, I guess.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't mean that they're bad games. So don't go dissing games. Don't go saying Riley Judd disses Metroid. I don't.
Yeah, no, they're... It sounds like they're really good games.
Yeah. So Timothy.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there something that you wanted to be able to find that you could not?
Okay, this has to do with the lore of Metroid.
Yes.
Which maybe I was just looking in the wrong spot. Maybe I just didn't click the right link. But the super cool suit that she has, the Varia suit or whatever. It's the one with the crazy awesome gun for a hand. Where did that thing come from?
Yeah.
That is super cool. If that's... Why would they not just start outfitting people with that left and right? Because that'd be... Seems like it'd be kind of useful if they're trying to fight this parasitic race or space pirates or whatever.
Right. Yeah, definitely when it comes to, like, her suits. I mean, you have her iconic, you know, suit shape, which I think... No, I'm not even going to think. I do not think, my friends. But just, she has a lot of suits. Let's just go with that, okay? A lot of suits. It actually is a little tricky to keep up with them all.
I believe it, yeah.
And, like, how they all work and, yeah, where they all come from. Yeah, it's just... That is something that's just, I kind of wish there was just more outlets for, I guess, the Metroid lore. This is a very tongue-in-cheek kind of statement, because you do have access to it. It's called the franchise. It's called the games. Like, we should just get it's into the franchise. Yeah. But, I mean, there's little in the way of, you know, modern outlets for seeing where these things come from. Like, this is a cheap example to throw out, but Pokemon, you know, basically every Pokemon game has been remade at this point. Any that you could not easily access. So, like, Kanto, the first games have been remade, like, 5 times at this point.
Yeah.
So, you were very easily able to go back and see, like, these little bits and pieces of lore, but... Metroid has done remakes, but again... Like, we're a little further removed from them now, but,
yeah,
excuses, we should just get into the franchise.
I guess so, yeah. But fun bit about her suits, it came with Metroid 2, Return of Samus. The reason that her suit has, like, the giant shoulders, that game did not have color, and they needed a way to differentiate two of the kinds of suits, so for... Yep. One of them, they gave it really big animation for the shoulders. So she has these giant shoulder pads, and they kept it, and it's really cool looking.
Right.
It's just a fun little fact there about Metroid 2.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering right, it was Metroid Zero Mission. So, you know, the game that was sort of a remake of the first Metroid.
Right, that kind of reboot almost.
Right. Actually introduced... one of the new staple designs of Samus, which is Zero Suit Samus, which is the suit, the armor, the design that she has when she does not have her regular, like, her power armor.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's like the chainmail under the plate mail.
Right.
There you go. If you're a history nerd, then you'll get it. Actually, exactly. If you're any kind of nerd, you'll get it, honestly.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was a really fun addition, because that came with a whole new area.
Right, yes. Yeah, in Zero Mission, that there was a whole new area, and that area was dedicated to you sneaking around in Zero suit form.
Yeah. But, continuing on, what was something that you wanted to know more about?
So this was a bit of, just a bit of wishful searching. I just wanted more info about Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, don't we all?
Yep, and it really just doesn't exist. You know, we know that they are working hard, and it will eventually come. But that's all we have.
Yeah, we just know that it's on its way, eventually.
Yes, yes. Now, people are really hopeful that it's coming soon, because we're gonna side tangent for a hot second here.
Go for it.
Because at a presentation this year, we finally got a official trailer for Bayonetta 3, which was announced and teased at the exact same E3 presentation as Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yes, they were both teased in the 2017 E3 presentation. And both of them were quite silent for a long time. Now, Metroid, before Bayonetta, got the announcement that Bandai Namco was out, Retroid Studios was in, which, that was hurtful. Like, hurtful news for the Metroid Prime 4 fans, because it did mean that development was scrapped and we're starting over. And
right, it's like saying, yeah, no, we're going to fix things, but it's going to take an extra year for...
Yeah, it's game development is not fast, and to start completely from scratch, like, you know, that's it. Bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Bad. At the very least, development for Metroid Prime 4 had been going on for 2 years, because, you know, 2017 to 2019. But you can safely assume that development was happening before then. Because, you know, development will usually happen before your teaser trailer. Like, you're not going to showcase something that you've literally just started.
Right, that makes sense.
Yes, so they were throwing away years of work, which means you are looking for years of work coming back. But Bayonetta, there was basically just some radio silence. There was a few comments, if I'm remembering correctly. Obviously, I don't have notes on them because this is about Metroid, not Bayonetta. But I believe Platinum Games made some comments about how they wanted to rework the battle system in Bayonetta quite a bit, just to kind of really push the games forward and to give them a new feel, a better feel, which was all we got. But anyway, we got Bayonetta 3. Bayonetta 3's official gameplay trailer was dropped this year, and a lot of people are theorizing that there's a good chance that Metroid Prime 4 might not be too terribly far behind. Yeah, no, at least announcement-wise.
Cool. Just any sort of news would be wonderful.
Yeah, so.
I was looking at an article by Tech Radar, I believe, and they were talking about how, you know, you're coming on the heels of Breath of the Wild, and I think it was Super Mario Odyssey.
Yep.
Lots of large interconnected worlds. We could get a very, very prominently open world Metroid game, potentially. Yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
It's, like, the capabilities would be amazing.
Yes, it is definitely one of the most anticipated games that we're probably going to find in the Switch's life. And really hoping it's going to come soon for all the people waiting for it.
Oh, for sure. But I think that's the end of what we got for Metroid.
Yep, I think I was really about to say Metroid did it. Like, that was a pun. I was gonna sell that as a joke.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yep.
It's okay. It's okay.
Anyway. It's late. So,
thanks for listening. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KYN Podcast.
Yep. And if you like any of the designs around that you see, be sure to check out some of our merch. New merch hopefully coming soon. Link is down below.
In the bio, yes. And if you have any comments, questions, concern, corrections, send us an email at kynpodcast@gmail.com, because we are completely, totally, and enthusiastically fallible.
Indeed, indeed. And well, you can email us, like Timothy said, or you can add us on Twitter, tag us, hashtag kynpodcast.
Call us out. Go for it.
Call us out right there on the tweets.
Yeah. And come back in 2 weeks when we have our next episode for you.
Yes. It'll be one of our chiller, more relaxed game episodes. No official topic as we get ready to wind up for the off-brand.
Yeah. Come back for that in, I guess, 4 weeks.
Yes.
All right. In the meantime, stay nonsensical.
Stay nonsensical, my friend denticles.
That's something else. Okay, bye.
Bye.